So in this today, we're reading the first chapter in Bamidbar. It's a long chapter in terms of the amount of sukkim, but sort of also a lot of information in terms of numbers and ka names and things like that, which are important. And we can somehow discuss maybe why these things might be important to the pesuk. But I think it's kind of simple to understand why it's important. The question is really more why it's relevant, why it was kept for us to read all the time, every year, or whenever we read it. That's the question. Of course, for the time, it's pretty obvious that censuses are very important. Every country, every functioning government, and every functioning society has to have some way of organizing itself, especially as we explained. This is them organizing to journey through the desert to go to Eretz Yisrael. There needs to be, we need to know who is going to lead it, who is on top, who's on the bottom, who's on the side. These are important things. They also have important legal, or we could say what's called yichas, important implications for knowing who you are, in terms of who you could marry, who you can't marry, in terms of genealogy, yichas being a very important thing for people to understand themselves. One of the answers to who you are is to say, I am the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, and so on. And that's probably the reason why these things were kept. L'doiris was, of course, entire books like Divrei Yomim and Tanakh, which are about tracing these genealogies further down, and pretty sure that people, as far as they could, have always cared about knowing how to ascribe themselves to trace their genealogy up to the Shvutim, up to these people that went out of Mitzrayim. These are considered the paradigmatic generation, right, where the order of the tribes was set, where the each person where they live in Eretz Yisrael was set. Sefer Yeshua that gives us the names of the places where everyone settled. So these are important historically for us. After a very long time, we don't really know how to connect to that, but it's not really hard to understand in a simple way why these things would be important. Although it's still, that doesn't make it entirely less boring to us when we read it simply. Of course, if you get into really tracing things through, you'll always find interesting things. In any case, we will just be telling you what it says, what it talks about. So the first pasuk is the one that gives us the date and time for all of this. And that's important. As we said, one of the big ways in this, in which all of this is organized, is by this chronology, and therefore these psukim, they all have this date and time of when the story happened, where we're up to in the story specifically. This is where the story counts months and years from Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is what starts all the story, what organizes this whole story. So in Midbar Sinai, the second month, the first day in the second month, in the second year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we understand that we're after Hakamas HaMishkan. The first year was when the Yetzias Mitzrayim itself happened, right, and Matan Torah and all that. And the second year in the Chodesh Nisan, the first month, we call Nisan, the first month is when the Mishkan was set up. And now we have in the second month, after we assume, you know, all the festivities are done, everything died down, now we have this mitzvah, this story of the census. And we have it framed as a command, and then the carrying out of that command. As a very popular framing in the Torah, especially in parshas to do with Kehanim and so on. Very popular framing, and this is the framing. It gets the command from Hashem to Moshe to do this. Su'u esrosh kol das b'sral. Now, picking up your head, or su'u esrosh is just an idiom for counting. Of course, you count heads, right? One person. We don't count hands because each person has two hands, so we have to count their heads. But also, of course, if you remember the story of Paray, Yisa Paray Esreishcha Me'alecha, and has two meanings, has double meaning, and there's some implication in that symbolism in that language. But anyways, literally, it just means this. And they're counted by their families, lemishpachosam, by their father's houses, as we've seen already, for example, in Pasha's Boy, ish sel levais ova, ish sel levais, a beis av is a level of society. It's a part of the societal structure that people belong to their beis av, which might be the same as mishpachosam, or maybe not, maybe mishpachos are higher level, but it's a unit. It's a part of the important units in which this society was organized. So we have to know to which one each belongs. And only the males were counted, only from 20 years and on. It doesn't say here until when. And of course, 20 years is the military age, and also what's really considered, we saw last week, right? We saw last chapter in Sefer Vayikra, we saw the law of Erechim, which is very clearly also describes 20 to 50 to, as being the prime years of a person's life, so up to 20. 20 is the age of adulthood in the Torah. It's very interesting because everyone knows the bar mitzvah is when you're 13. That age is not mentioned anywhere in the Torah. It's not biblical, so to speak. It's rabbinic. And the Torah Shebiksav, we only find the age of 20 as being the age of growth, of the age of being counted as an adult for military purposes and things like that. Of course, the Chazal have some sources, they have Ramazim for their age, but it's not explicit anywhere. And I think that when Chazal say that Bezen Shel Malad, they're only manish from 20 years old and on, I think that this is really sourced in the fact that in the Torah Shebiksav we don't find any other age as the age of adulthood. Okay, in any case, this is they're being counted. Moshe and Aharon, so also seems to be important. This is another question to notice all the time. What is Aharon's role? Of course, Aharon is the Kohen, but in some sense it seems here, and we'll see later in the end of the book with Aharon and Elazar. The Kohen doesn't only have a role in the Mikdash, he also has a role in the leadership of the entire people. And then, besides for this Moshe and Aharon being on tap, we have the leaders of each matev, each shevet, of each tribe, being also the leaders. And each one of these, ish means each one, right? Ish is how the Torah says each man, each one, is Rosh Leveis of Yosef. So each tribe has many Beis Av or many Mishpachos, as we'll see their names later. And ish, the Shevet, the Nasi of the Shevet, the head of the tribe, is the head of all the Batei Av in that Shevet, okay? And we have here the list of Shvatim. I'm not going to read out the names. Everyone could read themselves. Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, and two Shvatim of Yosef. There's always, in these numbers, always Yosef is counted as two, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Levi is not counted. We'll see an explicit amount for that. But there's a logic where there's always 12 tribes, and so if we count Levi, we count Yosef as one. If not, then Yosef is counted as two. But over here, the reason for that is because Levi is not counted as part of the tribes. He doesn't get a part of the land. He doesn't participate in the war, at least not in the way that all the others do. And therefore, we have Ephraim and Manasseh has two tribes. This is the more factual split of the tribes, right? Ephraim and Manasseh, in reality, had their own tribal structures going on. We could read in the whole Tanakh, we see that. Levi is sort of has its own class, right? Doesn't not really like one more tribe. So that's the order keeps on changing. I don't know the reason why every time we'll see the order here has some kind of logic later. But in general, every time it's a different order. These are the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes: Binyamin, Dan, Asher, Gad, Naphtali. And these have another title: Hil Roshe, Alfei Yisrael. Alfei Yisrael means thousands of Yidden. Thousands is, as we've seen several times, a military organizational level, probably because there's 1,000 people, but like means something like a unit or a division. So they're also the leaders of these Alefim. Right? Of course, we discussed in Parshas Yisrael, the Surah Alefim. Surah is the highest, the Surah Alefim, right? There isn't anything beyond that besides for the Nesiyah Yashvatim, which are obviously higher than that, but they're also Rashi Alfa Yisrael. So that's why I'm saying that it means not only 1,000, but the leaders of the thousands, which is the way in which they were organized, apparently, for going to war and so on. So that's the mitzvah. This is, maybe I should have put this in quote once. In any case, this is the reason I don't do it is it's too much sometimes. But anyways, this is part of the mitzvah. And then we have the master, the Kiyam, Moshe does it, takes these people, and maybe it's important also that these people are in the command, right? They're in the order. They weren't made up, not Moshe made up who to take. It was part of Hashem's order to have these people be the leaders. And he takes these people, and along with everyone else, and they get them all together on the same day. The same day he was commanded, and the same day he did it. And Vayisaldu, they traced themselves to their families, to their base of, by count of names. I think this just means the way they counted it, like people would write down their name or say their name, and that was how it was counted, so not like by just count numbers, counting names. And they did that as Hashem commanded Moshe. So that's the end of this part. So like there's a full story here. There was a command. It was the command. Part of the command was who should do it, and they did it. Now, the second part of the story is giving us the results of this command. So you could also read it chronologically. I'm saying that it's also to have a complete story, but you could just read it chronologically. They did it, and here are the results of what they did. And here we have, for each shevet, more or less a formula. It changes a tiny bit, and the formula, I don't have a reason for words that are different from one to the other, but more or less, there's a formula, and this formula gets repeated 12 times for each one. The Pusik is not worried about spacing ink. It doesn't just say numbers, it gives a formula for each one. This is not because they couldn't, right? In Sefer Devar Hayomim, for example, we have lists that are literally just lists without any connecting words in between. But this is for the completion of the book. That's the simple meaning. For the literary completion of the book, it's nicer to have things, even if it's repetitive, it's nicer to have it like this, and you could like sing it when you read it. Or it's like, it becomes like a song. There's Reuven, and he gets a title, the Bechor. He has that's the Negan, that's what you say for everyone. In total, they have 46,500 people. Then Shimon, same with the same Megillah, has 59,300 people. Then God has, this with the same Megillah, 54,650 people. There's also an interesting thing to note that all these numbers are equal besides for our full 100, besides for a few that are 50. And as people have noticed, it was probably rounded somehow. But it's also interesting why some of them have 50s. Maybe they didn't round to 50 and happens to have been that this were the ones that had only 50s or so on. Yehuda, same thing, has 74,600 people. There's also significance here to notice who has the bigger tribes. Of course, that makes a big difference. We can see that Yehuda is the biggest over here in this group in general. Yisachar has 54,400. Zevulun has 75,400. There's also numbers that can keep on coming back, like 400, right? 54,400, 75,400. We had 400 before also, if I remember. No, 5,300. For Ephraim, we have 40,500. For Manasseh, we have 32,200. For Benjamin, we have 53,400. That's another 400. There are certain numbers between 1 and 10 that don't happen here and some that don't. For Dan, there's 62,700. For Asher, there's 41,500. For Naphtali, there's 53,400. Those are the Elakim. That's all of them. These are the counts, the census that Moshe and Aaron did, along together with these 12 leaders of the tribes. All together, if you count all together, you get 603,550, not including Shevet Levi, who were not loyas bakti, they were not counted, not sense, I don't know how you say, not included in this census. And here it's a little backwards because this should have been said before, but I think also this is for the completion of the story. The story is organized in a logical order more than a chronological order, because obviously Moshe should need to have been told not to count the Levim already before, otherwise he would have done it, right? Because they're also part of the Yidden, or maybe he understood it himself. But I think it's really because now we're starting to talk about the Levim, and we're going to see, we're going to talk about them 2 or 3 times. We have a mitzvah, and there again we have this framing of a mitzvah and a command and a mitzvah. I think that's what it's for, although, because otherwise that second thing, Kasha Tziva, doesn't make sense. So there's a command that says, don't count Levi. Maybe these two things mean the same thing. Maybe they have some difference in meaning. And number two, what will they do? And these two things seem to have been connected, because the census, as we said, the census is not just knowing how many people, it's really giving them a job. And I think that the job giving to all the people is Alfei Yisrael, to put them in the army. And therefore what it's saying here is the Levim are not going to be part of the army. They're going to have a different job, which is in some sense part of the army, because the Mishkan is traveling with them, with the Machne. But their job will be Hafkadas Levim al Mishkan Ha'edis Valkol Kailav. They will be in charge of the Mishkan and the vessels of the Mishkan. They will carry it, and they will serve it, and they will also encamp around the Mishkan. They're watching it, right? It's the Mishmeres HaMishkan. They're literally the watchers of it, in a literal sense, but also, you know, in the sense of honor and so on. And they will also be the ones taking it apart and putting about it together. So there's like a list of things that they do. They carry, they serve, they encamp together with it, and they put it up and down. And anyone else will be put to death, a zar. Someone's not a Levi, cannot be allowed to enter, cannot be allowed to touch. And we'll see stories specifically about this later. But that's the law, and that's why Shevet Levi has their own category here. And then, so that's what the Levi will do. And now the Bnei Yisrael, all the other Bnei Yisrael, all in camp, each for his camp, each for his degel, each for his flag, I think that's, or something like that it means. I don't know if it means literally a flag, but like the flag is what symbolizes that. And litzivoysam, to their armies, right? The Levim will be around the Mishkan, v'liya ketzef. So part of the job of the Levim is to make sure that the Yidden don't touch the Mishkan, and because then there would be a ketzef, then there would be an anger on the Yidden. But the Levim are in charge of watching that this doesn't happen. So this is the order. So there's like, in general, 3 parts in this tzivi, right? There's the not counting the Levi, there's what they will do, and where they will live, and where the Yidden will live, everyone else will encamp. And we have this report of them doing what Moshe has told them to do. And I think this probably should be said refer to this. Just this is the completion of this, like a little surz of this little envelope here. There's a mitzvah and a tzivi, although maybe it goes on what we said before, but it already was kashas tziv Hashem kanos in the beginning for the census. So this is probably for this second part. So that's the end of chapter 1.